Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to episode 6 of Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
What up?
It's Sharks Hockey all the time here on Dudes on Hockey, and we got lots of interesting things to talk about today, actually. We got some emails this week. We got some loyal fans out there. We appreciate that. And we got an email from our buddy Ian up there in the great white north behind enemy lines in the middle of Leafs Nation, but yet a Sharks fan. And he said, first of all, I think that a lot of people up here in Canada would be shocked to hear the passion you have for the game and what could be considered an unconventional market in San Jose. I know Mike mentioned you as a fan of Jersey in the last podcast, and my question is, did the Sharks turn you on to hockey, or were you guys hockey fans before the Sharks entered the league? And if so, Doug, what team did you root for? Dude? Were you a fan of the Whale? How about the Atlanta Flames? The Oakland Seals?
I was a fan of the San Francisco 49ers, to be honest.
Me too.
I didn't really get into hockey till the Sharks moved or were started here as a franchise. And I remember having a red plastic Wayne Gretzky hockey stick and like a little red, like, hockey puck. And I would play with it in the kitchen, but I think that was really my very basic introduction to hockey. And I don't know how to skate. I still don't know how to skate, as Mike knows.
I know that for sure.
So I didn't really have a favorite team. I don't think I was in love with hockey until the Sharks came, and my dad's company had season tickets at the Cow Palace, which is a total butthole.
The barn, man, that place. Ugh.
I remember going to a lot of games up there with my dad, and I remember specifically being at the Hartford Whalers Sharks game where Rob Goudreau scored the first hat trick in Sharks history.
Wow.
And
December 1992? November 1992? For those of you keeping track at home.
Very impressive, Mike.
Yes.
Very impressive.
I just looked it up a second ago. So.
But you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. I was.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit late to the party in terms of the Sharks. I never saw a Sharks game at the Palace, at the Cow Palace, but I did actually see a San Francisco Spiders game back when the IHL was around. That was really actually...
You had a Spiders jersey.
No, I have a Spiders hat.
Hat.
I have a Spiders hat, yeah.
You do have a Matt Carl jersey, which is now about as worthless as the Spiders hat.
Right. I'm not sure which is worth more. I should put them on eBay and see which one's worth more.
But, I'll give you $1 for both.
Sold. No, the thing is, I didn't actually become a hockey fan until I started playing hockey in college. And actually, my friend Jeremy, who I've read some of his emails on the air, and I actually have another email from him tonight, he's really been instrumental in getting me into hockey. For whatever reason, I happened to be in a dorm with four or five guys, all that cared a lot about hockey. And Jeremy was one of them, and he got me and my roommate both into playing. And we played roller hockey literally 5 nights a week for months and months and months. Probably our entire freshman year, we'd play every night and go out to the tennis courts and play. And so then we start, you know, that was during the Fox Puck days, actually. And we were watching the Fox Puck games and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the Sharks were pretty bad. I mean, during that time in the mid 90s, sure, they had a couple of, you know, playoff upsets and so forth, but they were a pretty bad team. So I didn't care that much about them. So I mean, I did care because they were local, but I zeroed in on certain players. I mentioned Scott Stevens. And so I like the Devils for that reason, but yeah, Ian, I think you'd be surprised how many hardcore fans there are here in San Jose. I mean, probably not as many as in the Toronto area, but it's a small sort of fraternity or a club, but it's a pretty rabid one, I would say. We both have friends, and as I said, my friend Jeremy is a big Ducks fan, and you know, you can find big fans of any team all around the league. So that's why hockey's so great, man, because all the fans, you have to really seek it out. You know, you don't just sort of walk down the street and stumble into a bar and everybody's watching the Sharks, because frankly, there aren't too many bars like that around here. You got to really seek out hockey, and that makes the fans around here all the more into it, which is something I really like. So
I think the numbers are growing, but definitely in the Bay Area, the Sharks are probably fourth,
fifth,
you know, and it's close between them and and the A's. I mean, because the A's following has kind of dwindled off. I know that hurts Mike's soul a little bit, but as a former A's fan who now doesn't care about baseball at all.
I don't really care about any sport other than hockey now.
You got to still believe that even with their struggles, the 49ers are king of the Bay Area market, with the Raiders, the Giants, and the Golden State Warriors are probably ahead of the Sharks in total fan base.
Well, now
base.
That the Warriors actually are decent, I mean, during their long decline or long doldrums, I didn't hear much about the Warriors in the league. But
the Sharks definitely are the most consistent and the best team in the Bay Area, and I think that we're starting to see in the season ticket numbers and, you know, general attendance at the Tank that popularity of hockey is certainly on the rise.
Yeah, we were talking to the guy at the Tank when we were picking our season tickets for this year, and the guy says, you know, they have 7,500 season tickets, they're sold out. So, you know, there's no season tickets to be had in San Jose right now. I mean, there it's a waiting list as far as I know. You know, and as we can testify, there weren't many open seats for shuffling around. I'm even after a yet another disappointing playoff loss in the second round, there are not a lot of people jettisoning those tickets even after the season ticket hike. So I think it's something that sports radio and certainly television, local news around here doesn't seem to give the Sharks enough credit. I think that people underestimate how much people care about the Sharks. Maybe it's a little bit more regional and that it's just San Jose, but certainly a lot of people, I see a lot of people wearing Sharks gear out all the time, and I think it's just going to be a growing market, and I think we'll be hearing more about that in the fall. So
I wonder if you can get Kings season tickets at the state.
I imagine so. I imagine so.
Do you think if you get Kings season tickets, like Tom Pricing comes to your house and cooks you dinner?
Right, and I think they actually hand out just vials of Adderall at the door, so everybody can just sort of tranquilize themselves, so they don't have to watch the game.
Wow,
fully sober, brutal, but Oh, Ian actually has another question, more Sharks related. How soon do you think it will be for last year's first round pick Logan Couture to break into the Sharks lineup?
I don't think it's going to be this year, at least not on as a regular performer, because one, he's got a real high salary. He's making, I think he'd be about $1.2 million, and he's making it either way, but he'll count on the cap if he's up with the big club, and I don't see that happening unless he just has a lights out camp, which could happen. I mean, you know, if he's given the opportunity to play with some of the top line players, then, you know, maybe we're going to see Couture this year, but I think we'll see him in flashes, maybe when people go down with an injury. I think it's more likely he's going to be in the AHL, probably playing on a top line with McGinn and trying to let them continue to develop some chemistry. Maybe he can bring Kaspar's game back to life if we re-sign him. I mean, we still haven't done that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Couture is, you know, he's a first round draft pick. He's a guy that I don't know if you really want to put him in the NHL as a 19-year-old. Is that what he is now? A 19 or 20-year-old, and give him 8 minutes a night on the fourth line. And we've certainly talked about it in previous weeks. The Sharks are pretty jammed up in the first couple lines. Right now we got Mahalik and Joe and Cheech and Patty and Pavelski and
Seto
and now Klo.
Well,
let's talk about Klo for a second. Still unsigned. I know you may have a conspiracy theory brewing here. Is this going to be a sign and trade? Are the Sharks going to lose Klo? It looks like it's becoming more and more likely with each passing day.
I know a lot of fans will be upset about it. I know I'll be upset about it. I think Klo brings so much to the table that a lot of these other players on the roster don't have, including size, just huge size and toughness, which I would hope that if they did make a deal that they were going to replace him with someone who can bring those same skills to the table. But the fact that he's not signed really makes me question whether or not, you know, like we've talked about before, is he getting greedy? Did his handshake deal with Wilson go bad and now he's looking for Steve Bernier type cash, where Bernier got that stupid contract with Vancouver for 2.5, which he's
only
not worth.
Only because St. Louis forced him into it.
Sure, but now is Klo forcing Wilson, or is this all back burner stuff? You know, Wilson's telling Klo, be patient, we've got a deal, you're in the fold, I just need to make room for you before we do this.
And that dovetails into a segment we're going to do later on the show about what other moves can we expect to happen? And I think the Sharks may be in that discussion. So,
but Couture, following the Detroit model, which we talked about last week, if you're looking to put the four best lines out there, sort of roles be damned, if he has a good camp, I mean, he's not going to play with Jody Shelley on the fourth line. And you know what? We forgot about JR.
Right.
When we were just talking. But
he's not going to be a second line guy. Not now.
Well, no. But if you've got a fourth line that's like JR, Shelley, and Greer, and you've got a third line now that's like Mitchell, say Klo does come back, if Couture has a great camp, do you keep him?
Yeah, the line combination is going to be really interesting to see exactly how far into this Detroit mold we go, or if we're going to have sort of a more traditional checking third line or a shutdown third line and a checking fourth line.
I got to say we're not, because that's not what we've done.
Yeah,
in
the
last
never really
few
had
years.
A checking line, not for a long time. No. So anyway, questions to ponder going forward. Thanks for the question, Ian. I do have a question that I was talking with Jeremy about, or emailing with Jeremy about lately, and he just sort of posited, you know, the Kings right now are approximately $4 million under the cap floor, which is around $40 million. And actually, the Ducks are over the cap ceiling right now, which is at $56 million. And Jeremy's question was, what happens if they're below the floor, or what happens if the Ducks are above? And I tried to do some research on this. I have a copy of the CBA, which you can get on the NHL website.
Nerd.
I'm sorry. And guilty as charged. And I was looking at HF boards, which is another source for lots of hockey nerds if you're looking for that sort of thing. And the answer really is nobody really knows. It's something that's never happened yet under the current CBA. And there's a clause in the CBA that says that outlays certain kinds of penalties that could happen to those teams. Somebody even on HF boards intimated that the NHL wouldn't let the Ducks or the Kings to even ice a team if they didn't go with the cap. I have no clue. The penalties include, you know, $1 million fines, up to $5 million. You could dock draft picks. You can actually negate contracts and say certain contracts are void. You could do almost anything you can imagine. You could forfeit games. What really is going to happen? I don't think we're actually going to get to that point. I think both the Kings are going to pay somebody, or they're going to pick up some players or whatever, and they're going to barely meet the floor. And the Ducks are going to probably get rid of Schneider. But it would be, I'm hoping that they dock the Kings the first round pick, because the Kings are trying to get Tavares so bad. And when that would be the funniest thing ever, if the Kings just, they dump Vishnovsky, they dump all these guys, and to try to get Tavares, and then the NHL says, oh, you're below the floor, you don't get your first round pick anymore. I would love that. That would be so.
It's interesting that this hasn't happened. And in the NBA, you know, you're fined a dollar for every dollar you're over the salary cap, which is a luxury tax. So if you're salary cap in the NBA this year, I think it's like $70 million. And if you're $90 million, then you pay $20 million in fines.
Right.
Which really deters, it is a lot of money, and it deters some teams from going there. And some teams like the New York Knicks don't care, and they do it anyways. You know, they'll go over the cap as much as they want because they've got, you know, unlimited funds. But as far as for the NHL, I've got a few ideas of some possible penalties. If you go over the salary cap, your general manager has to give an 80-minute hot stone massage to Barry Trotz.
Wow. Yeah, now we're getting into really tough penalty categories now.
Your general manager has to let the Bugard brothers punch him in the nutsack until Christian Ehrhoff gets a shot on net.
Oh, man. Wow.
Or you're forced into signing Jeff Finger. Any of these penalties, I think, could deter people from going either way.
That means the Leafs could go over the cap right now, and they've already paid the penalty.
If he was over the cap, Cliff Fletcher wouldn't even know. He wouldn't even know. He still thinks Curtis Joseph is their goalie. Oh, wait, he is.
Oh, wait, he is again.
Time warp.
Yeah, seriously. It's going to bring back Belfour, too. Well, thanks for the question, JT. If anybody else has cap questions, we'll try to answer them on the air. I like reading the CBA. Call me crazy. It's a, you know, it's a self-flagellating experience, but I like to know these tiny minutiae of the business of hockey. So keep the questions coming.
Nerd.
But that does, sorry, it does sort of segue us into the next segment, which has to do with Glenn Murray, a guy we talked about last week, and has to do with the Sharks in particular. you know, there's teams that aren't done. We're definitely in a very quiet period in terms of the season, but you know, teams have to make moves. We talked about the Ducks being over. We talked about the Kings being under. The Sharks are closer to the cap than we've ever seen. Who's going to be on the move? Who's going to be making moves between now and, say, training camp? You know, I don't think a lot of teams are going to want to make a lot of moves, you know, in early October, because they want to have a roster set and guys practicing with the team going forward. So who do you think's on the block? Let's just talk about the West, and we'll talk about the East maybe next week.
Well, I don't even know if it's who's on the block, Mike, but who's really holding up the whole thing here is Mats Sundin. And for my first team to talk about who's not done, it's Vancouver. If they don't get Mats Sundin, then they're going to make a reactionary move here, don't you think?
Yeah, you're right. They've put all their eggs in this basket, which is...
A Swedish basket. A lovely, delicate Swedish basket.
Of lutefisk.
Yummy.
But the thing is, I don't really even understand why they put their eggs in this basket, because it's not... I don't think it's going to really put them into some sort of contention role. It's just... I mean, now they have a second center, so the Sedins go to the second line. I get, you're right, though. You're absolutely right. If they don't do Sundin, then they have to save face with the fans, right? Don't they?
I think so. You end up making a deal. It could be a deal for a player like Nylander, who I think Washington's probably trying to get rid of, which we'll talk about next week when we talk about the East. But making a deal for a player that, you know, maybe will come off as being high profile or medium profile, as far as that goes, with Nylander, to save face with the fans, try and inject some offense on this team that, you know, really hasn't improved on that front. I mean, you could say Pavel Dimitra is a nice addition to the team, but what's he going to play 40 games before his groin goes south and he is crying to go back to play with his lover, Marian Gaborik?
What about the one remaining free agent, sort of high priority or high profile free agent in Shanahan? Could the Canucks make a play for Shanahan?
No, I don't think Shanahan wants to come out to the West. I think he's going to be on topic next week with the East. You know, he hasn't played, you know, where would he play in Detroit? He played in St. Louis, and then the rest of his career was a bit of Boston and the Rangers, right?
Okay, so could they target the guy that we talked about last week, Glenn Murray?
Sure.
Do you think Glenn Murray could be a Canuck?
Sure. I mean, it depends on what the priority is for Glenn Murray. Is it winning? Is it money? He's going to be making a lot of money. He could be sitting at home in his underwear playing Call of Duty 4, like you on the weekends, Mike, and just cashing his checks from the Boston Bruins and laughing, eating Fruity Pebbles. But Glenn Murray is going to play hockey, and he's going to go for the most money to play on a bad team. It could happen, but I would like to think Glenn Murray would want to come somewhere and maybe take a little less money and play on a winner. How about another team that's maybe not done? Chicago, Mike. Chicago can't be done, right?
We've talked about the goalie situation in prior weeks. We've sort of beat that one to death. They have to make that deal.
They have to.
They don't want to tear that room up with two guys sniping at each other, trying to undermine the other goalie. Who is going to think he's the new guy, the new number one? Habibouin wouldn't understand why they brought this kid in.
My blocker is bigger than yours, Mike.
Exactly.
They can't get into that situation. That team is doing so many things right that having that kind of underlying current in training camp, I just can't see how that's going to be good. So maybe Javi Bulin is a target for LA. They've got to add salary. We talked about, you know, Anaheim has to get rid of salary. Do you see Javi Bulin, Schneider, LA?
Maybe both. The only thing I think we read Battle of California, and Battle of California has talked about it. I know the Kings guy at Battle of California would love to see Schneider in the purple and gold or whatever, because they have nothing to be excited about in LA.
You're going to be excited about Schneider?
I'm more excited than Tom Pricing. I mean, and they need somebody to sort of mentor the young D that they do have in Doughty and Jack.
He's like
Johnson.
The Mummy 3.
He's a pretty mobile guy.
Sure.
He can score.
He's going to make no difference on that team.
I think we could see LA make both of those moves, or at least one of those moves. I'd put
money
on one of those moves.
That's like
happening.
The ultimate prostate exam to Schneider to send him to the Kings.
Right.
That'd be
terrible.
Top of
the heap to the bottom of the heap.
Yeah. I mean, hey, guess what? Hey, thanks a lot. But, you know, Niedermeyer's decided that he's going to stay with us another year. So we're going to send you about, 20 miles away to a total dump.
So, all right, what about the Kings being done with Solani?
You mean the Ducks?
I mean the Ducks, excuse me.
I don't think they're done with Solani. I don't think Solani knows what he wants to do. I think Solani's going to just ride this sucker out just like he did last year and show up, drive his little, you know, Fiat or whatever he's got, you know, right down there at playoff push time and show up. And, you know, I know that Burke, you know, plays dumb on that, says, oh, I didn't expect it. I'm not going to – come on. He knew that was going to happen. He knew that was going to happen. And I think it's going to happen again this year. Colorado, you know, they've got some big pieces in Forsberg and Sakic unsigned.
I think Sakic will be back. Forsberg's always a wild card because I've heard rumors he's going to need another – he's having more problems with his foot. I think we've seen the last of Forsberg, to be honest. I think it's worse than even money that he'll be back in the NHL this year with anybody. And if he does come back, it's probably going to be with the Avalanche, but he's just flat out not healthy enough. He just flat out can't play anymore.
He's a greedy bastard, Mike, and he's going to come back. He will come back with one lung and half a leg. He'll be like the guy in Monty Python. It's just a flesh wound, Forsberg. He'll be back. He'll be playing for somebody. He would take, talk about it, so he'd take the money from Atlanta.
It seems like we've hit almost every team in the East. What about Columbus? Columbus needs somebody too. Are they going to actually make that move? We've talked in prior weeks about they still don't have a center for Nash. Is it too late for them? They're not going to make that move now, are they?
Well, Nylander's out there. You got to think Nylander's out there.
Okay, so Nylander maybe.
Do they need to make the move? Yes. Are they going to? Nah, probably not.
Probably not.
They think that the wingers are going to get them to the promised land and they're sorely mistaken. I don't think they've improved much at all. So I think those are all the teams that we think who might not be done, but that doesn't include our very own San Jose Sharks.
Right, right.
Which I think we're on a differing opinion on this.
Yeah, I think they're done. I think they're done. I think Doug Wilson got the go-ahead to spend money this year. Blake comes off the books. They're going to do some rearrange next year. We're going to see some changes, but that's my position. I'm sticking to it until I'm proven wrong.
Let me throw out a scenario for you, Mike.
All right.
I think they might not be done, and I'm not saying I want this to happen, but I think that this is a scenario. Sharks gave up a first-round pick. Sharks gave up one of their top prospects. Doug Wilson, you know, wants to get those back. So in order to get the precious cap room, the first-round pick, and a top prospect from another team, it would probably cost you Chichu or Mahalik, and in turn, you have to take McLaren. So that clears about $6 million of room. If you make that move, and then you sign Glenn Murray to replace that forward, and then you have the money to bring back Clough, and then you've got a little bit more flexibility throughout the year to maybe make a tweak if there's an injury, etc. It's a scenario. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I want it to happen. But what do you think about that?
I think this is a fantasy league Doug manager talking. I know you love making these deals. I think you you get rid of a lot of goals. Chichi, you're getting rid of 30 goals. Mahalik, you're getting rid of 25. Sharks have had trouble scoring last year. I don't think Glenn Murray's going to solve that problem. And getting rid of those guys doesn't really address anything other than the problems with the draft board. And it could arguably make them weaker for the playoff push and the playoffs. But we want to hear what you guys have to say. You can check us out at our blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and we definitely want you to weigh in on that. But that's a conversation that's going to be ongoing. Let's move to the shootout when we go over the main stories of the day. First up, Steve Stamkos signed in Tampa Bay his entry-level deal. Okay, so this kid, first overall, how many points is he going to score on that mismatch, crazy patchwork team?
60.
60 points.
I'm going to say 60 points, Mike.
I'm going to go under.
You're going to take the under?
I'll take the under on that.
I smell a bet, Bruin. Smell a bet. How about John Tortorella, rumored to be discussing the coaching opening with the New York Islanders?
I think it's almost too smart of a hire for the Islanders. I don't know why Torts would take that job. I think that, and I don't know if he would really want to wait it out and wait for them to rebuild because I don't know if he's that patient of a guy. Maybe he is. Maybe he just wants to see if he can do a rebuild job on the Islanders. I think it'd be a good hire for them. I have a lot of respect for Tortorella, but
I have some advice for him. Run.
Run as far as you can.
If you look at your cell phone and you see Charles Wang's phone number pop up, run. Answer the phone in a different language. Pretend it's not you. Don't do it.
Seriously.
Don't do it.
The Islanders.
God.
All right, next up, PM Bouchard signs a 5-year, $20 million deal with the Minnesota Wild. He only had 13 goals last year for $4 million. He did have 50 assists, though, so I'm hiding that. But is that worth it?
If you put Craig Janne out there with a Bouchard jersey on his back, would you know the difference?
I wouldn't know PM Bouchard if he walked in here with a shirt that said, "My name is PM Bouchard."
Wild suck. Bouchard sucks. End of story. Okay. He's not worth that type of money to me. No thanks. I don't think he doesn't suck. He's a decent player.
He doesn't suck.
But I wouldn't give him that type of money at all. But the Wild are totally mismanaged. How about Thomas Holmstrom using the Stanley Cup in a baptism, Mike? Would you say holy cow or JC not happy now?
I'd say if JC didn't have a problem with Chris Draper's kid dutying in the cup, then he wouldn't have a problem with the baptism, because it is, you know, it's a holy rite. It's a rite of passage.
Stanley Cup is not, it depends.
Okay, last story. The Pacific Division did get weaker this week because the Rangers signed one of the greatest players in the division, Freddie Sjöström. That's a relief, huh? Huh?
Who?
Yeah, I guess he's not really striking fear into the hearts of Sharks fans, and he probably won't be doing the same for the Rangers. But that does it for this week for Dudes on Hockey. Appreciate all your questions, and you can check us out on the web. Make sure to send your questions in, and we will talk to you next week.
Later.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.